Hey, what's going on? It's Bill Burr, and it's the Monday Morning Podcast for Monday, June 5th, the first Monday of the fucking year. I gave you an extra one. That was for all of January. Sort of held the note, didn't I? I go, fuck yourself. Whatever. Another year. Another year has started. I got to be honest with you. It's still Sunday, and I'm watching the tail end of the Dallas-Detroit game. I already know who wins. There's only a minute 29 left, and I was watching the game in real time, and Dallas scored to go up 24-20. So I ran upstairs to cut myself a little piece of apple pie, like the fat fuck that I'm becoming quickly, and I was in such a rush. I took the fucking, sorry for the echo.
Echo!
I'm downstairs, and we don't have enough furniture. What do you want from me, okay? It's a goal of mine. At some point in 2015, once I'm done paying for all the fucking horseshit that I had done down here, once I get that out of the way, maybe I can afford a fucking chair. So anyway, so I run up there, all right? Like a typical football fan, okay? Half a run, half a waddle. Breathing through my mouth after three stairs, okay? After I had the audacity to scream at the fucking TV, you know? Like, fucker, catch the fucking ball! I can't even run up 10 fucking stairs, winded, you know? First two steps, I'm running like a 12-second 40. By the time I get to the fifth step, I'm running like a 60-second 40. It's just going downhill. So I get up there, chop myself out a piece of pie, and I didn't even do that. I took the lid off the thing, the glass lid thing that our neighbors got us as a housewarming gift, and I wasn't even looking, and I'm set it half on the counter, half into air, and it just shattered all over the place. I got to tell you, sweeping it up, I could tell how expensive it was. You know, people can tell you that something made out of glass is expensive, but you don't realize how expensive it is until you break it and you're sweeping it up and you feel that weight in the dustpan. Like, that was some quality glass. So I already know that the Cowboys hang on to win this fucking game. Because a buddy of mine, Keith, texted me. And what kills me, the lovely Nia walking through. And what kills me is all it takes is one person to walk in the room. I completely lose my train of thought. That's what kills me. Now, what the fuck kills me? The fuck was I just talking about? Nia, is this another ADD thing? What? Ah, shut up. Easy as B-I-L-L-L-B-U-R. Fucking douchebag. What was he talking about? God damn it. What the fuck was I talking about? Here, don't walk in the room when I'm doing the podcast, all right?
Oh, shut up.
No, I was going good there. Oh, Jesus. All right. Anyways, let's try to retrace our steps. All right, I'm a winded fat guy. I'm running up the stairs. Cowboys are up. I break the lid. This is some quality glass. I go to fucking sweep it up. And I ended with, you know what kills me? And I have no idea. So evidently it wasn't killing me. So I was exaggerating. I'm already fucking bitching. In 2015, that's the heater. Hey, can you shut off the fucking heat, please?
Yo!
I swear to fucking God.
Can you shut off the...
What is wrong with you?
Can you shut off the heat, please?
I did shut it off.
Thank you.
My God.
What does that sound?
What is wrong with you? You sound like a...
I like... There's something about the echo. I feel like I'm in a locker room.
You don't have to talk so loud, though.
It's fun.
No, it isn't.
Well, it's fun for me. And this is my podcast. Hey, you want a podcast without screaming? Why don't you go fucking record one? Sorry. Because looks could kill. You know what, Nia? You got to get out. I got fucking ADD. I start looking at you. You got to get the fuck out of here so I can do the fucking podcast. Either grab a microphone or fucking beat it. Jesus Christ. I'm watching the end of the Cowboys game. Fuck, let's just go with this. You know what I love? Whenever a fucking NFL team wins a playoff game, and then they cut to the owner's box, and it's always like 12 fat white guys in J. Crew pullover sweaters, like, they're all fucking excited. Woo! You know, they all got a fucking Their assistants are all carrying for him. Bring that fucking booger sugar over to the fucking yacht, you piece of shit. Maybe I'll actually tip you. You're working for free. Someday you're going to work your way up in this facility. And they go down to the fucking, where do you park a fucking boat? Down the yacht, not down the fucking docks, right? You get down there, okay? They tell their wives that they got some, whatever the fuck they say. And then they go down there, they got their side piece. You know, some fucking chick from Switzerland got her hair combed over in her face like Aaliyah, that chick from that movie with the rabbit that was a cartoon, but talked to the fucking guy who looked like Burt Young, who framed Roger Rabbit there, right? And what do? They fucking break it out. The chicks just sit there. They're psyched. All right, they're doing blow. They're not going to want to fuck. And they all are again. Look at them. Jesus, look at the guy in the red sweater. That's all stress eating. You know why that guy in the red sweater was that fat? Not because he's gluttonous, because he had to deal with Jerry Jones wanting to draft fucking Johnny Manziel, and he had to fucking talk him out of it, you know? And he just had ice cream and short ribs for the rest of the fucking year after he dodged that bullet. So anyways, let me shut off the fucking TV because this is going to be too goddamn distracting. By the way, how many fucking football games are professional football players going to watch where they see a fucking jerk off fumble the ball and then the defensive player, rather than just falling on the fucking thing, he's got to pick it up and try to be a goddamn star. And what happens? Either you don't pick it up, it fucking squirts away, or you fucking get it slapped out of your hands. Unbelievable. Anyways, listen. Congratulations to the Dallas Cowboys and to their fans. And you know what? To Tony Romo, because God knows he would have got blamed for that entire fucking loss.
I'll tell you, that guy, man, I don't know what it is about him. You know, he got all the fucking tools. He ain't got the smarts, man. That's what the fuck it is. I remember one time, a long time ago, I had a ranch before my fucking divorce. You want to talk about Big D? Fuck Dallas. You should see when I paid this fucking twat, right? Goddamn bitch sitting on the fucking porch all day. Why don't you cut up some vegetables and put them in a pot, you piece of shit? She wouldn't do it. I tried sweet talking her, Mark. Shut the fuck up and let me finish the story. This is my story. This is my fucking state. That fucking Tony Romo, let me tell you right now, he got a look in his eye like he a pheasant, but he smells a rat. You know what I'm saying? Stupid southern expressions. I swear to God, that boy would fuck a cow if he saw a roadrunner coming up to a goddamn snake balls. And that's true, too. You can put that in writing.
So anyways, they've been fucking with this guy for so goddamn long. He's had like a million fucking offensive coordinators. The problem is what's his face? Jerry Jones is an owner. Okay, he's got, you know, you ever see a quarterback's got little happy feet in the pocket dancing around? He can't feel the rush, but he knows it's coming. Got a bad feeling about this one, man. Right? He's just fucking sitting there like that dude in Platoon. Rather than planting his fucking feet, checking down the fucking receivers, right? Like I would do if I was tall and had talent. Anyways, he's got happy feet as a fucking owner. Anybody come down the fucking pike that's done anything in fucking football that's got a little disco ball hanging over it, he can't get enough of it. He cannot get enough of it. If he would just relax and let the coaches coach and the players play, okay? Maybe slow down that elevator ride down to the fucking field. I think Dallas would be a lot further down the road. Okay, you got to stop blaming your stepson, Tony Romo. Whatever. Anyways, congratulations to the Dallas Cowboys, to their fans, and to that officiating crew that decided somewhere about 4.5 minutes to go, like, hey, what do you say Dallas wins this game? Huh? You got it? You like that? Three, ready, break. Boom. How the fuck was that not pass interference? Guy's running down the field like he's out of gas in the middle of nowhere, flagging down a fucking car that's coming from the other direction. Clear-cut case of fucking pass interference. They pick up the flag. They pick it up. Then Dallas gets the fucking ball, and there's more pass interference. They don't pick up that flag. I don't know. I'm not saying it was fixed. I would never say that. I'm just saying, not with baseball. I'm a football, but I just feel that there was a, you know, I just wasn't, you know, come on. Can you let the players win the fucking game? I don't know. What the fuck are you going to do? Anyways, me and Paul Verzi went round and fucking round this week about some sports shit. This is the kind of guy, when you listen to the Paul Verzi Effect, the Verzi Effect podcast, this is the level of intellect of this man. I know he's going to get pissed at me. I always do this because then he trashes me on his podcast. So here we go. This is my side of the argument. This is like listening to your parents argue through podcasting. He fucking texts me. He said, I think Cam Newton's going to have a big day today. Talking about when they're playing the Arizona Cardinals. All right? And this is the deal. Paul Verzi said Cam Newton was going to be a beast in the NFL. Classic Paul Verzi pick. He picks this fucking guy who nobody's ever heard of. Just like a 12th round pick. I mean, practically off the fucking board. And he just saw something in this guy. I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was the national championship and the Heisman Trophy. I don't know what tipped him off to the fact that he thought that this guy was going to be a good player. But Paul Verzi, he sees things. And this is what he would say. Well, you know, a lot of fucking Heisman Trophy winners don't pan out. Anyways, why don't you pick the second rounder who's going to pan out? Instead of hitching your fucking wagon to this guy who's got his goddamn ears stapled to the side of his fucking head. All right, so anyways, the nerve of me, the way I look to criticize that guy who looks like a Superman, right? Anyways, so I put on the fucking game, and lo and behold, the fucking Arizona Cardinals, they got a third string quarterback in there. I mean, God bless him, but the fucking guy threw a screen pass and he fell down. He looked like me after a couple of beers. All right, of course he's going to have a big fucking day. I know Arizona has a good defense. All right, Carolina fans, fucking relax. All right, but when the opposing team's fucking QB is falling down because he threw the football, you got to know there's going to be a lot of three and outs, at which point Arizona's defense is going to tire out, at which point Carolina's going to have their way with them. And I'll tell you, when you start doing stuff like that, you're going to have a big fucking day in the National Football League. Anyways, I didn't actually watch a lot of sports, but Verzi was driving me up the. This is what he did. Granted, he was fucking boozing it up last night, but he fucking texts me, and you know, I trashed him about how he said that Babe Ruth is the greatest fucking baseball player of all time, which is absolutely fucking ridiculous. And fuck all you baseball historians. Okay, who are going to take out your reams and reams of fucking stats. All right? Here's the fucking news. All of a sudden, I was just thinking, what's his face in what the fuck, those, not Desperado, what's it called? Reservoir Dogs. Huh? Now here's the news. Looks like Sam fucking Hot Carlon out there. Chris Penn, one of my favorites of all time. This man who did his time, did it like a man. It's just going to decide out of the fucking blue to rip us off. Well, fuck, and I talked my way out of it. Now I don't remember what the fuck I was just saying. Oh, Jesus Christ. The fuck was I? Oh, Verzi. Yeah. Okay. If all you fucking historians, okay? If your guy played when only white guys were allowed to play, take 30% of those stats, and as The Rock says, turn it up sideways and shove it straight up your candy ass, because they don't fucking count. Okay? They don't fucking count. Babe Ruth. Fucking guy's getting shit-faced, banging hookers the night before the game. Then he goes out, throws a no-hitter, and hits four fucking home runs in the same game. That's like a beer league. You know what I mean? Give me a fucking break. Don't you think it's weird that that guy played 100 fucking years ago? And since he played, there's never been another guy who could even remotely come close to doing that. To winning 20 games in a season and hitting 50 fucking home runs. Bo Jackson couldn't even do that. And that guy is arguably a Hall of Fame athlete in two different professional sports. He couldn't even fucking do that. You put him on the mound, he would have got fucking shelled. Give me a fucking break. Here's another thing, too. I don't know if you guys have noticed this shit, but once they let, quote unquote, the rest of everybody play, did you notice what happened to the white population in everything but hockey? It fucking plummeted. Plummeted. All right? But when Babe Ruth played, those fucking guys stayed in the league. You had me playing fucking shortstop.
He's no better, see? He's no better.
Listen, I'm not saying Babe Ruth wouldn't hit fucking six. I'll give him 600 home runs. Okay? I'm not giving him over 700. I'm not fucking doing it. Okay? Yeah. He maybe could have taken Mariano Rivera deep, but not every fucking time. Jesus fucking Christ. Give me a fucking break. What if stand-up comedy was only white guys? You know? Richard Pryor, Bill Cosby. Fucking Eddie Murphy. Just all of those guys. All of them. Out the fucking window. Give me a fucking... It's the stupidest fucking argument I've ever heard in my fucking life. And then to act like when you actually let everybody fucking play that the competition isn't way more intense. Way more fucking intense. And to sit there and say like, dude, the guys on base percentage. Shut the fuck up. I don't even want to fucking hear. Dude, I'll tell you. And that goes for everybody. I'm not just picking on white guys here. Fuck Wilt Chamberlain's 100 points in a game. All right? I find Kobe Bryant scoring over 80 points like 2-3 fucking years ago was way more impressive than scoring 100 points, you know, dunking on Bob Cousy. Not saying that he's not a fucking Hall of Famer, but I'm just saying, come on. Give me a fucking break. Ah, Jesus, I'm on a fucking tirade here. And you know what's what kills me is Verzi calls me up. He goes, Giannis Pappas. I don't know if you guys ever seen him. He's absolutely fucking hilarious, okay? He said, Giannis Pappas is destroying your Babe Ruth argument right now. You're getting killed by Giannis Pappas, right? Which is fucking hilarious to me. It's like, Paul, how am I getting killed? I'm not there to hear it. I'm not there to defend myself. This guy's out there, he's punching at the air. Okay? This is the thing about a character like Paul Verzi and Giannis Pappas, all right? These fresh-faced little kids, they were born in the late 70s, early fucking 80s, and they don't know a fucking thing that happened before the first George Bush administration. They don't know shit. They're the video game generation. They're rubbing one out to some fucking porn site. They grew up with a screen in their face. Okay? I'm telling you, go out to one of their shows. See the look in their eye. They're twitching up there. This is what I always say to Verzi. Whenever Verzi starts to annoy me, and I know it's his age, I just say, Paul, why don't you do me a favor? Why don't you go over there and go get yourself a malt and sit down and think about what you said, okay? And I actually texted him, told him to do that, and I said, while you're at it, why don't you go fucking buy Giannis Pappas 1-2? And if either one of you are listening to this clip, the next time I am in New York, you fucking cunts are out here, okay? We'll all go out. We'll have a couple, two or three, and I will listen to your fucking argument. I want you to explain to me how a man who never had to face the Pedro Martinez back then, the Mariano Rivera, the Josh Gibson, all of those guys off the fucking table. Jesus Christ, it's like a fucking 5-on-3 the whole goddamn game. You scored a goal. Oh, my God, that's impressive. The fucking guy... He pitched no hitters and hit 50 home runs. I mean, give me a fucking break. He's a fat fuck. That's what kills me.
Dude, you have no idea. Dude, his fucking hand-eye coordination. Oh, my God. Get the fuck out of here.
Jesus Christ. I mean, look at the fucking 1920s. They didn't even know how to have sound in a movie yet. And then when they did, everybody was like, man, let me tell you, why I oughta. That was acting, and people got awards for that. He played baseball during that fucking time, okay? Let me tell you something. If you played baseball when your fucking card, your baseball card was in a cigar box, go fuck yourself. Okay, I'm not saying that you couldn't play today, okay? But take 30% of your stats. Turn them up sideways and shove them up your fucking candy ass, because I don't want to fucking hear it. All right? Paul Verzi. Talking about his hand-eye coordination. Paul Verzi's also the fucking guy who told me Seabiscuit was an unbelievable athlete. A fucking horse. And you know why he said that? Because somebody on ESPN. Paul, you got to get on this podcast, because I'm actually getting guilty. I'm fucking trashing you so bad. But I'm not. For the simple fact that you said somebody was killing me when I wasn't even there to be killed. Who knows? Giannis might kill me. Who knows? He might. You know, he's got that ethnic name. Who the fuck knows? He knows how to make some fucking baklava by fucking hand. Maybe he knows some shit about baseball. I would love to have either one of you fresh-faced kids convince me how, without a doubt, Babe Ruth is the greatest baseball player of all fucking time. And I'll tell you right now, I don't want to hear a fucking word about those stats. Jesus Christ. Look at fucking basketball. If you didn't let black people in basketball, there'd be like three people in the league. Dude, I got to tell you, Crazy Leg Johnson's back in the 40s. He scored 120 points. Oh, God. All right. I know. I fucking beat it to death, but I just had to make the point. Speaking of sports, DraftKings, everybody, a little advertising here. DraftKings.com. Millionaires are being made all season long at DraftKings.com. America's favorite one-week fantasy football site. One-week fantasy means no season-long commitments. Play whenever you want. Got a player who's hurt? No problem. Quit your crying. All right? Injuries won't derail you, your shot at victory, because it's like a new season every week there. So you're never stuck with the same players. Pick your goddamn team in minutes and you could be on your way to winning huge amounts of cash. This season, one listener turned $10 into $5,000. Another turned $2 into $10,000. Another guy ended his fucking marriage because he bet too much money and he lost. Bet responsibly, people. And a new millionaire has been crowned nearly every week this season at DraftKings.com. You could be next. Imagine winning $1 million, $500,000 after cash in one day. Just playing fantasy football at DraftKings.com. Call to action. Head to DraftKings.com now and use the promo code DEFENSE. DEFENSE. There's no C in that word, okay? To play free in the $10 million Fantasy Football World Championships. Tell me you don't want to win that thing. DraftKings.com. Bigger events, bigger winners, bigger millionaires. Enter DEFENSE now at DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com. Once again, that is DraftKings.com. Oh, look who's back, everybody. Me undies. No more sweaty balls. Ba-doop, boop, boop. Me undies. You can wear them down at the mall. Your fucking balls are hugged real snug. You're walking up to ladies and they give you a hug. Oh, no more fucking sweaty balls with some goddamn me undies. Oh, yeah. Get yourself some me undies. Boop, boop, boop. No more athlete's foot on your taint. All right. Me undies, 90%. That's the percent of your life that you're going to be in your underwear there. Unless you're Matthew McConaughey. And it's probably 10%. And that underwear gets old fast. You know, that feeling of putting on old saggy underwear, you know, if your underwear quits, your balls are going to quit and then you're going to go to work. And what are they going to give you? Huh? They're going to give you another nickel an hour and tell you to sit down and shut your face. You need to know the feeling of victory. And that feeling is great fitting underwear that grabs your balls, lets them know who's boss, but lets them also know that, hey, you're in for a nice ride. It's 2 times softer than cotton. Did you guys know that? Can you do that math in your head? You need to know about MeUndies. MeUndies. MeUndies is the most comfortable underwear you'll ever wear. And it's insane how good they make you feel. You're going to walk down the street. God damn it, I feel good. Woo! They fit perfectly. They don't ride up on you. And they literally pull moisture away from your skin so you stay cool. Gross. Personalize. Pick one. Oh, I'm supposed to pick one here. I actually wore a pair. They're very nice. Slightly effeminate, but very nice. I have mine on right now. Do I? Let me see. No, I don't. Maybe that's why I'm so grumpy. I bet if I had MeUndies, I'd think Babe Ruth was the greatest player of all time. Let's see. I can't even tell you how great I feel when I'm staying cool and comfortable down there all day. I'll just tell you what. I put them on. They feel good. They don't ride up my ass. They hold my balls nice. And I feel like I'm nicer to my wife. How's that? Is that personal enough? They have cool styles for both men and women, and they all look great. Oh, they got them for women, too. MeUndies, MeUndies, no more clammy clam. Check out the photos yourself, MeUndies.com. This quality would typically retail for 2 times the MeUndie price. Okay, if that's what you say. No retail middleman means more savings to you. Here, I'll make it easy. Go to MeUndies.com/Burr and get 20% off your first order and free shipping. Save even more when you buy a pack of them. They guarantee that you're going to be happy or you get your first pair for free. What? They guarantee you're going to be happy with them or your first pair is free. But what if I bought a package? Should I get another package? All I can tell you is this, people. It's the beginning of the year. All right, guys, come on. You know you've been wearing your underwear forever. Order some MeUndies. Set yourself up for the year, right? Set your balls up for the year. When they arrive, throw out your old ones, right? Or wash them and give them to a brave homeless person. And that's it. All right, just go to MeUndies.com/Burr. Is that what the fuck it was? I don't know what it is. Anyways, Dollar Shave Club, everybody's last one I'll read here, and then I'll get back to the podcast. Can someone tell me when razors got so damn expensive? Yeah, I can. My whole fucking life. It's been brutal. A brutal ripoff, and I've been bitching about this since I started shaving back in the late 80s. Anyways, have I been asleep for 20 years? I was in a store the other day, and one pack of razors is now 20 bucks. One pack? That's crazy. But hey, sometimes they give you a free gift when you buy their overpriced razors, which is actually just a big punch in your fucking dick. Don't get beat up by the ridiculous razor prices, everybody. Get your shave gear where I get mine from DollarShaveClub.com. For a few bucks, DollarShaveClub.com delivers amazing razors and other great grooming supplies right to your doorstep. Can you see what I'm doing here, people? You got your MeUndies. You get Dollar Shave Club blades sent right to your fucking door. What do? You're going to shave your balls and put on the MeUndies. It's going to be an unbelievable year. Anyways, here's how it works. They sent me the handle for free, and every month they sent me my replacement blades. It's one less thing to worry about. You can get deliveries every month, every other month, however the hell you want to do it. They got lots of growing grooming supplies, too. You know I love their one white Charlie's. Why pay 20 bucks for a razor when you can get a fantastic shave for Dollar Shave Club, from DollarShaveClub.com for a fraction of the price? Stop getting smacked around by high razor prices. I mean, and you got to stand there, wait for them to open the case. This is a layup, people. DollarShaveClub.com razors are great, and they're a fraction of the price. Trust me, you wish you'd done it a lot sooner. Don't be a dumbass. Shave smarter. Go to DollarShaveClub.com/Burr, B-U-R-R. That's DollarShaveClub.com/Burr. DollarShaveClub.com/Burr. All right. Okay. Where the hell are we? Let's get back to the podcast here. All right. A couple of things. I got to give a shout out to Stuart Scott, everybody, man. That guy, one of the absolute legends of ESPN, and watching that guy over the years as he was fighting cancer, just the way he went after it, man. I hope I never get it, but if I ever do, I hope I go at it the way that guy did it, because that guy went out like a man. That's all I'm going to say. Stuart Scott, going to miss you. Anyways, and then I got some good news is Nick DiPaolo. Nick DiPaolo, a comedian that everybody should know. And every time they make those dumb fucking lists, okay, who's happening, who's now, who's this, who's that in comedy, Nick DiPaolo should be on that fucking list. I don't care how short that list is. This guy is a comics comic. And I'm actually excited if you've never heard of the guy. Because you're going to get to discover the guy. And I can give you like one of the best comics in the fucking country that not enough people know about. Nick DiPaolo has a brand new special out. I'm going to send you the link and all of that type of stuff. We'll have that up on the podcast page. And if you'd like to Google and search him, it's Nick. And then DiPaolo is D-I and then space capital P-A-O-L-O. Nick DiPaolo. Absolutely fucking fearless. And I did a tour with him a long time ago. I told this story when I did Nick and Artie's show a long time ago. I'd done the Montreal Comedy Festival, and the Montreal Comedy Festival had, Just for Laughs is like huge up in Canada, but you know, people are starting to get to know him down here, but they had no idea who they were like 10 years ago when I went on this fucking tour. And it was a sick tour, too. It was Nick DiPaolo, me, Greg Giraldo, rest his soul, Tom Papa, Gary Gulman. Who else was on it? I mean, it was just a killer bunch of comics, all great guys, everybody having a good time. And I used to watch Nick when Nick would go out there. All of a sudden, his chin would drop down to his chest, and he'd always be looking through his eyebrows. And he would just be going back and forth, looking through the crowd, all the way from stage right, slowly all the way to stage left, stage left, slowly back, all the way over to stage right. I used to watch him do this every fucking night. As he's telling these killer jokes, I'm like, what the fuck is he doing? When he's backstage, his head he's got level flight here. He goes out there, his nose down. What the fuck is going on, right? And I finally realized what it was, because the material he did, inevitably somebody was going to scream out at him. So what he was doing was he was ducking down. He was shielding his face, his eyes from the stage light, so he could see who said what, so he could tear him a new fucking asshole. I think I said on Artie's show, he was like a security camera, just going back and forth. He's one of my favorite comics of all time, and he's a great fucking guy. So anyways, when I do the Patrice O'Neill benefit next month, I'm going to try to get him on. He's out here. I know he did Joe Rogan's, he did Adam Carolla's, and I think he did Jay Moore's podcast too. He was trying to set something up with me, but he was all backed up or whatever. It just didn't work out between us, so that sucks for me and my podcast and my listeners. But I promise you I'm going to get him on probably in the next month. I got to make it happen, because it would be an honor to have him on. He's just fucking awesome. So anyways, moving on. All right. Well, I went to another Rose Bowl, everybody. And I think I'm just now starting to recover. First of all, what a fucking game. The Rose Bowls are already unbelievable, but to add that whole playoff fucking atmosphere to it was just insane. And, this year, me and all the guys, we got over there. We were so fucking organized this year. We had fucking everything. We had fucking everything. Food, booze, other stuff. Jason Lawhead put on a display of tailgate cooking that it was, he had a career year. That's what we were saying. He had a breakout. It was just fucking, it was the best breakfast sandwich I ever had. Then he made these ribs that were unbelievable. Then we went to the game, and at the end of the game, it was freezing out by then, and we were smart. This is how smart we were. We brought a cord of wood, and one of the grills we turned into just like a fire pit. And everybody else who was waiting for the traffic, all these people were coming and gathering around our little fire, going, you guys are smart. Oh, this is really smart. What I left out is we brought everything except fire. We forgot to bring a lighter. They were bringing the grills and they were bringing the charcoal, so I assumed that they were going to bring the fucking lighter, and I brought the lighter every year, so I guess that one was on me. I don't know what. But other than that, it was another amazing time, and it was fucking hilarious. We get into the game, got in on time because it's a fucking playoff game, right? And there was so many people getting tickets that I couldn't get four together. I got two and two. So we were like a couple rows, two, three rows in front of Bartnick and Lawhead. And we're sitting there, you know, and I'm not as bad as I was last year, but I was fucking, I was feeling no pain. All right. I was definitely more than dehydrated at that point. And all of a sudden I see security walking out with Jason Lawhead, and there's no Joe Bartnick. And Jay is looking at him over at me with his hands like up, like, what the fuck? And he's yelling at me, and I'm going, Jay, where they take it? And I'm in the middle of this fucking row. There's like 30 people on one side, 30 on the other, this old school stadium, right? Total fucking fire hazard, right? I'm like, Jay, where you go, Jay? And he's fucking yelling at me. I can't hear. And they're just whisking him out so fast, there's nothing I could do other than I just keep going, Jay, where they take it? Everybody's looking at me like, what the fuck? Turns out, I don't know, Bartnick was outside. He was in the stadium, but outside the stands. I guess he had sat down or something and nodded off. And when he came to, there was like fucking 20 cops surrounding him because he's such a big guy. I thought they were like, what if this guy starts swinging? We're fucked. And they went down there and they told, I guess they looked at his ticket and they went up to get Jason. That's what they did. And they said, he's been overserved which is the understatement for all of us for 2015. And Lawhead, to his credit, the only thing he did better than cooking was talk his way out of that. He just kept going. Oh, come on, look at the guy. He's a teddy bear. He's not hurting anybody. He's going to go up there. He's going to sit down. He just kept saying he's a teddy bear. And Joe was just looking. Hey, you know, I'm a teddy bear. Next thing you know, they fucking let him in. Fucking Lawhead, the politician, gets him to his seat. He sits in his seat and then promptly fucking passes out. And some lady behind Lawhead goes, hey, you're going to have to get him out of here. And Jay just looked at her and said, hey, come on. He's not hurting anybody. He's a teddy bear. Okay, listen. And she fucking jawed back at him. And Jay was just like, listen, if you just watch the game, you're not even going to see him. Okay? I mean, I can wake him up. If you want me to, I'll wake him up. I don't think you're going to like it, but I can't wake him up. And people just started laughing and it was over. And we had a wonderful time seeing two of the top college football programs play each other. It's a hell of a game through 2.5 quarters. And then Oregon, I got to give a shout out to the Ducks just for shutting up the FSU band. And I didn't have to hear that fucking tomahawk chop again. And I fucking called it. That band knows 3 songs. They know the school song, they play something else, and then everything else. The whole fucking game. And I don't know. I would like to see a little bit of a closer game, but I really enjoyed the fact that they shut that band up. Nothing against FSU. I actually really like the Seminoles, and I've always loved that program. But somewhere along the line, that tomahawk chopped just fucking... It would be like if at the Red Sox, like, you know how awful it is when they sing Sweet Caroline? Just imagine if they did that between every fucking inning. I mean, you'd want to kill yourself, right? If you were any sort of a human being, and that includes being a Red Sox fan, because I want to jump off the fucking monster when I hear that fucking song just once. Oh, and you're looking around and fucking women putting their head on the fucking guy's shoulder. It's just like, ah. I don't know. Well, maybe I don't know. Maybe I should be a little more positive about just a shit like that. I have no idea. What else? So it's a new year. Do I have any New Year's resolutions? I'm actually going to try. It's fucking hilarious with this podcast. I'm going to try to lose my shit a little bit less, especially when I drive. You know what really, I know this is an old comedy bit here, but what really fucking bothers me, rather than just saying straight across the board, I'm gonna stop losing my shit when I drive. I'm just picking moments. Like, you know what I'm not gonna flip out about anymore is when there's traffic on the highway and that person in front of you leaves like a 4-car gap in front of them. I'm just pausing right now for anybody who just wanted to go like, oh, I fucking hate that guy. I know. I fucking hate that guy too. We all hate that fucking guy, unless you are that guy. Is anybody that guy who listens to this podcast, and for the sanity of the other 98% of the people on the planet, can you please explain your fucking rationale? I'm not going to lose my shit. Can you please explain your mindset as to why you feel that you have to leave that big of a gap? You know, and I was actually sitting behind this guy, and I was starting to lose my shit, and I go, I'm not going to lose my shit. And I just said in my head, this guy... rather than saying he's texting, rather than saying he's a moron, I just said this guy's gotten into a major accident and he broke his fucking hip and he doesn't want it to happen again. So he's letting other people go. Okay? Just fucking, and I hate that whole mentality. Like, why? I mean, what are we actually saving, huh? In the end of the day, I mean, what's another car length? You know what it is? It's soothing. Okay? It's a cold drink of water on a hot summer's day, just to move another fucking foot, all right? You know what? That's what I'm going to do. Is anybody out there, one of those fucking people? Can you please explain to me why you do that? Maybe if I know why you do that, then I can actually understand you more as a person, and then I won't be beside myself because you don't see the world the way I do. How about that? Is that more mature? And while we're at it, people out here in L.A. who ride bicycles in those clusters of 20 fucking people, like you're having a bike race that nobody else wants, nobody else knows about. Why do you feel that you're allowed to ride out in the road like that? I've asked cops. You're not allowed to do that. Or why do you ride side by side, the two of you, so you can shoot the shit and you're slowing people down behind you? I'm just asking. Don't you feel it's a little hypocritical if you want the fucking car to share the road that you don't share the fucking road? And while we're at it, why are you dressed up with, like, sponsors on you? Like anybody's paying you to ride that fucking... Ah, Jesus Christ, there goes the temper. All right, let's get to some questions here for the week. The Rose Bowl, everybody. Oh, dude, I'll tell you right now, if you're going to pick a beer to start the day with, I'm telling you, Miller High Life. Oh, you got to get it in the bottle. Oh, my God, the sun's just coming up. We got it at 7:04 in the fucking morning. It was freezing cold out. There was a frost on the fairways. I'm telling you guys, you got to fucking do this, okay? You don't got to go to the Rose Bowl. Fucking pick something that you and all your dumb guy friends do, or you and all your dumb fucking women friends. Just, you got to have that one thing you do every year. You got to have that. I don't give a fuck what kind of responsibility you got. You got to have that one fucking thing. So anyways, we got there. The frost was on the fucking fairways. I actually said this year when I got out, I said, hey, guys, go take this in right here. This is the best part of the tailgate. It's the beginning. And this time tomorrow, you're going to wish that this fucking moment, actually, no, because you'll be too hungover. 3 days later, when you get all the poison out of your system, you're going to be fucking longing for that feeling. Dude, we get out of that truck, ear-to-ear fucking grins. And then Bartnick's got this thing that he yells out to everybody, to the entire parking lot. I don't want to say what it is because he yells it so fucking loud. And so far, nobody's ever found our fucking tailgate, which has been great because we make a spectacle of ourselves. You got to do it. So anyways, the Rose Bowl. Let's read this thing here. Dear Billy Football, love the podcast. Your new special was nothing short of amazing. Thank you very much. And thank you, everybody, who's been watching it, rewatching it, and telling other people to watch my new special. You people are all the same. I'm sorry. Jesus Christ. I'm sorry you feel that way. Oh, Jesus, Bill. I really appreciate it because this one has been getting the best response. And, you know, that makes me look good with the people I'm in business with over there at Netflix. So you guys did me a solid. I really appreciate it. All right. Anyways, here we go. Anyway, I had a question about your Rose Bowl outing last weekend. The game itself was great. From that opening Oregon drive when Mariota, I hope that's how you say his name. It's two Heisman Trophy winners. I didn't even know their fucking names. I was so busy this year. I was so hammered. I even had a fucking program. I had no idea. Mariota pitched it to the guy who somersaulted to the 1 yard line and later completed the 2-point conversion. Oh, that was great in the beginning. To famous James flopping around, fumbling for an Oregon touchdown late in the third. It was just a great game, and I was thoroughly jealous you were there. You're obviously an Oregon Ducks fan. My question is, can you share with us a couple of your favorite moments from this year's Rose Bowl? I kind of did that, but there's probably some more. I'm sure you had you and the goon squad you roll around with got in some funny situations of conflicts. P.S. I saw Lawhead and Bartnick in Boston for the All Things Comedy Tour. They were great guys and had the pleasure of sitting with Bartnick at the bar while Jay crushed it on stage. Cool dudes. I would love to drink and smoke stogies with you all sometime. Happy New Year and go fuck yourself, you apron-wearing cunt. Ah, that was a good one, you bastard. I think I've already told the stories. Yeah, throwing the football, the food. I mean, I don't know. I was pretty sober, but I was kind of a consistent leveled, like, blacked out. I don't know what was it this year. Just the whole fucking thing. You know what's cool is watching a father with his two sons, and he was playing automatic QB and teaching his kid, the cornerback, to get inside, you know, inside the receiver. And watching the big brother, older brother fucking rivalry reminded me when I was a kid. I sat there smiling, drinking a beer. Probably looked like a pedophile, but I was actually thinking nothing but clean stuff. Everybody looks like a pedophile now. I don't know. I got to be honest with you. The whole fucking day is a goddamn blur. I remember most of the game. I passed out a little bit in the first quarter for about a minute and a half football time. And then the second quarter for about a minute and a half. But other than that, you know, I crushed waters for the rest of the fucking game. I didn't have any beers afterwards because I had to drive. And that's by then, you know, we stayed there till like 8:30, 9 o'clock at night. So by then, I haven't drank in like 8 hours. So I'm actually so sober, I'm fucking hungover at that point. So anyways, Australian beaches. Bill, you talk about sharks and how they eat people constantly. Is this going to keep you out of the water in Australia? Ah, you know what? I'd love to say yes. But I know if we have time, my wife loves the ocean. And I got to be honest with you, man. I've never seen beaches like in Australia. Last time I was there, which was 2 years ago this past October, I was in Sydney. And we took a walk along the coastline. And it was really rough waters and stuff. But it was so fucking beautiful. The only thing that stopped me was it was freezing cold out in the rough water, and I'm fucking terrified of, you know. Yeah, you swim in an ocean. It's fucking alive, okay? You swim in a pool. There's nothing in there that can eat you. And then also, like, there's no, like, undercurrent, riptide and all of that shit, you know. The ocean just doesn't – itself doesn't decide that it wants to kill you. Will I go into it? Yeah, probably but no more than up to my waist, and then I'll go back, and I'll be freaking out that there's something fucking swimming along there. I do have to tell you, since flying helicopters, you can't believe what the fuck is out there just off the shore. Everything from, like, you know, a group of porpoises jumping out of the fucking water, which is cool to see, and then you'll just see some big fucking thing by itself, and you're like, was that a shark? Is that a whale? What the fuck is that? And you'll look like diagonally up, like, I don't know, about a half a mile, and there's a bunch of people sitting on surfboards waiting to fucking catch a wave. And I'm all set on that. I'm all fucking set on that. So anyways, baking. Hey, geez, I'm fucking tearing through these goddamn questions. Oh, no, we got 46 minutes in. Okay, plus I got some other topics I can talk about. Anyways, baking. Bill, I'm a 34-year-old husband and father of a 2-year-old boy. I work hard, and our family is doing well. The hard work does take a toll, and at the end of the day, I have a hard time winding down because work is always racing through my mind. Hearing about you baking gave me the idea to try the same. Ah, Jesus. Look what I'm doing to men in this country. Here's another guy going to go buy an apron. Don't even listen to these fucking assholes. One of the coolest things you can do is go out in the kitchen and make a fucking killer goddamn meal. I swear to God, we applauded Jason Lawhead more than we did those fucking teams, the level this guy was cooking. All right? I guess it's more manly shit because it's out on an open flame. All of that type of shit. But whatever, dude. Put on a fucking apron. Make a goddamn pie and pan, sear a fucking pork chop, and then talk to me. Anyways, at night, now after my kid goes to bed and my wife and I are hanging out, I'll make a bread or a pie. Every night, dude, you're going to be a house. He goes, I'm getting really particular about my techniques now and take pride in the little things. It's very zen. Absolutely. 1 in 5 or 6 baking sessions, I'll take a small hit off a joint and it's a perfect evening. Thanks for exposing me to the idea and laughing at yourself when people on Twitter make comments about you being some type of Sally. I got to be honest with you. That shit always makes me laugh. Anybody calls me Twinkle Toes or a Sally, that has always fucking made me laugh. I don't give a fuck. And he says, anyways, it beats getting one of those small Japanese rock gardens from my desk. Thanks and go fuck yourself. Yeah, that's great, man. I would just be careful about making pies and bread every day. You'll be a fucking house. But I don't know, man. I'm actually going to try to learn some vegetarian main courses so I can offset everything else that I'm learning how to do. Like, I want to learn how to make a fucking a Sunday gravy. Because I already know how to make pasta, homemade pasta, and I'm going to get a ravioli maker, and I'm going to do something like that, or make some rigatoni, rig a fucking Antony over there, and I'm going to, I want to make a Sunday gravy or something like that, which I'm dying to do. Although I'm kind of afraid of canned tomatoes. Because I know then they don't taste good, and they're really bad for you. And all I have 2 tomato plants out in my front yard, and, you know, what they yield, I fucking eat. I don't jar any of those things. But I'm like a closet fucking Italian here because I actually want to get a decent number of tomato plants out in my front yard and then just fucking, you know, as they become ripe, obviously pick them. And then I was going to, you know, skin the fucking things and then mush them into a jar and then jar them and then have tomatoes for my sauce all fucking year. That's what I want to do rather than getting these fucking tomatoes that have been in cans for years. And God knows what they do to you, you know. You hear shit, right? So anyways, congratulations, sir. It's a great thing to do. And any young people out there, all right? Men and women. Women, cooking is a lost fucking art. I don't know why you guys ever stopped doing it. Nothing will shut your guy up fucking quicker than making him a great goddamn meal. Here, eat it and go fuck yourself. It's over. He's going to have that in his head. And this is not new information. Women knew that a long time ago. Then somewhere along the line when they started growing out their fucking snatch hair and they quit using deodorant and burning their bras, that whole fucking thing. You know, they forgot some good things. Like, hey, you know, make the guy a fucking sandwich every once in a while. Watch him shut the fuck up. He just won't do it. But anyways, guys, I'm telling you. I'm telling you right now. All right? I'm telling you. If I could fucking cook the way I cook now, back when I was a single fucking man, I just, it would have been over. One of my big regrets in life, I didn't learn how to make a pie crust until I was in a committed relationship. God damn it, what an asshole. Girlfriend says, girlfriend keeps sex tape from previous relationship, everybody. All right, let's see where this one's going. Okay, oh, this one has "Oh, Jesus" written all over it. Hey, Bill, I've been listening for the past 3 years. I love the podcast, especially when you freak out and throw tantrums and call yourself out by name. He says in parentheses, oh, really, Bill? Yeah, I guess I do that. Those are the best ones. Ba-da-ba-da. I have a situation. I got a situation that might be of interest to you. My girlfriend of almost a year has a sex tape. My girlfriend of almost a year has a sex tape with her previous boyfriend. What? In the past, she was very insecure and weak, very impressionable. I believe this is why she was ever talked into such a thing. But maybe I don't give her enough credit. I can accept that she made one in her past. Her experiences made her who she is. Oh, Jesus. However, she made the decision to keep this tape anyways after the fact. She says, I like keeping things that remind me of people and moments that made me smile, even if they were mistakes and didn't work out. Oh, go fuck yourself. Yeah, dude, why don't you try the same thing? Why don't you try the same thing? Oh, my God. What a fuck. You know, I gotta almost stop and applaud her for that fucking line. She also says that she wants to watch this tape as she gets older because she will want to remember when she had a great body. He said, I kind of manipulated her into showing me this tape. What the fuck? By telling her that I think it's hot and that it might turn me on. She had only been shy about mentioning it in the past, kind of teasing, but maybe she was just afraid of my reaction and was testing how I was reacting. All right, this is my fear, sir. My fear is that your girlfriend is a freak and she keeps meeting guys that are not relationship guys. So now that she's met you, you know, this is her own little fucking freak thing that she kind of keeps. And I'm worried that she's going to be doing shit and this guy's going to be doing stuff to her that you have not done or even thought about doing. Okay. In other words, I'm waiting for you. I'm worried you're going to see a load on her face. All right there. That's my concern. All right. When I saw it, I felt so repulsed. It was the unsexiest thing I've ever seen. Oh, all right. Well, it went the other way. She was traumatized too, very traumatized. So I kept my cool and calmed her down before I had to head home. Wait a minute. So she pops this thing in. You guys are both horrified. And did she start crying? And then you shut it off and had to be like, nah, you know, it's no big deal. Well, you know, I'll call you tomorrow. I don't mean to laugh, sir. But this is supposed to be a funny podcast, so I got to keep the comedy coming here. Oh, my God. Jesus Christ. All right, here we go. Now she says that I act weird and that she is sorry that she hurt me, but she doesn't apologize about keeping this tape, nor have I asked her to. I think it's beside the point if she only does it to appease me. Oh, if she has to get rid of it because she wants to, is what you're saying. Am I reacting out of a bruised macho ego? I could never imagine keeping a sex tape from another relationship while I'm in a new one. Yeah. I don't even keep the normal photos tagged on my Facebook. What's your advice? And maybe Nia can add her opinion too, since she might think I'm being possessive or judgmental. It would mean a lot to get your advice. Thanks a lot and go fuck yourself. Well, she's upstairs and you just heard him already driving her fucking nuts. No, dude, you're not, this is completely fucked up. It's fucked up and it's weird that she would keep that fucking tape. It's fucking weird, dude. And like, come on, man. Can you imagine saying that to your girlfriend? Hey, I got a sex tape from the last woman I used to hook up with, but I just keep it, you know, because I like to keep things from my past that, you know, remind me of things that I've done, even if they were mistakes. But, you know, at the end of the day, it just kind of makes me smile. It would just be dead silence. She would be like, what the fuck did you just say? And then as you start at the top, she'd tell you to shut the fuck up as she proceeded to break up with you. Because to me, that's like, it's bizarre. This isn't fair because I'm reading this. I didn't hear how she said it. I don't know anything about her. But that's fucking bizarre. It's just not cool. It'd be bad enough if you somehow found it. But at least she had the decency to keep it a secret. But the fact that she even fucking tells you about it, then just makes me smile. You know, like she has a fucking quilt her grandmother made. I don't know, dude. I think you got to be like, look, you need to get rid of that thing. Okay? That's fucked up. Okay? And fuck your fragile state. Okay? Fuck your state. What about my state? All right? Get rid of the fucking thing. That's what I would say. Without all the fucks and the anger. Get rid of the fucking thing. I don't know, dude. That's fucking weird. All right. Next one. Oh, wait. You know, let me read the last bit of advertising, and then I'll knock this one out, and I'll bullshit some more, and that'll be your podcast for the week. Oh, for fuck's sakes. Here we go. What is going on here? Where the fuck is it? Come on, Bill. You can do it. Live reads. All right. DraftKings, we did that. MeUndies. Dollar Shave Club, we did that. All right. The last two. Oh, one of our old favorites, Stamps.com, everybody. One of the great resolutions you can make for the new year. Maximize every minute and every dollar for your small business. I know an easy way to do it with that company right there. Stamps.com. Think about how much time you've wasted going to the post office, driving there, finding parking, standing behind the old lady with the smelly hair. Stamps.com is the better way to get postage. Just use what you already have, your computer and your printer, to get official U.S. postage for any package or letter. Then the mailman comes by and picks it up. What could be easier? With Stamps.com, everything you would do at the post office, you can do right now from your desk at a fraction of the cost of one of those expensive postage meters. I've been using Stamps.com for the last couple of years, setting out my tour posters. I am a moron. If I can figure out how to do this, so can you. All right? You're already getting underwear shipped to your house. You're already getting shaving cream and your blades sent your way. Why have to go to the... Well, you're going to become agoraphobic with the shit that I'm selling you here. You never have to leave your damn house again. Right now, use my last name, Burr, B-U-R-R, to get this special offer. No risk trial, plus a $110 bonus offer that includes a digital scale and up to $55 free postage. Don't wait. Go to stamps.com before you do anything else. Click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Burr, B-U-R-R. That's stamps.com. Enter Burr. All right. Lastly, but not leastly, LegalZoom, everyone. What's your top New Year's resolution, everybody? If you're like me, it's getting your life organized. But where do you begin? Wait a minute. No, I don't want to have road rage. Why do they do that to me? Stop saying what I think. I'm going to sell your shit, all right? Anyways, a great place to start is protecting your family, and a great way to take control of your family's future is to make a will. I actually have to do that. I have to do that. Or a living trust. That's where LegalZoom can help. There's no easier way to make sure your family is legally taken care of. Getting your life organized also means taking control of your financial affairs. So, if you're thinking of starting a business, or you have one already, LegalZoom.com can help you form... Jesus, sometimes I just get lost here. LegalZoom can help you form your business and provide the support you need to run it successfully. Form and from look the exact same to me. For more than 10 years, LegalZoom has helped millions of people get the personalized attention they need. And if you'd like more help, they can connect you with an independent attorney in most states, but they are not a law firm. This month, you can save even more by entering BURR in the referral box at checkout. That's promo code BURR, B-U-R-R. Don't let another year pass you by before getting your life organized there. For LegalZoom, you can count on what? For legal help, you can count on for your family or small business, go to LegalZoom.com, promo code BURR. That, once again, that's LegalZoom.com, promo code BURR. I have got to fucking do that this year. And I'm going to use LegalZoom when I do it. There you go. There, see, there you don't have to write copy for me. I fucking do it myself. I do it myself. All right, 22-year-old hitting on 26-year-old manager. What the fuck's wrong with that? 22-year-old hitting on his 26-year-old manager. There's nothing wrong with that. Hello, Bill. Longtime listener here. And I'm writing to you today for some advice. I'm a 23-year-old man and currently have the hots for a 26-year-old manager. Just a little background. She's originally from Louisiana and is smoking hot. Oh, I love her already. She just moved here around a year ago and always complains to me about being lonely because she does not know many people here in Cali. Fuck, dude. She's laying it right on the table for you. What is she going to do? Fucking throw her legs in the air? First of all, you said you're 22. Now you're telling me you're 23. Anyways, she's always being extra nice to me, like buying lunches, always checking up on me and staying a while to chat, and gives me the eyes from time to time. Where do you live in the country? You might be mistaking her Southern house hospitality because you're used to some fucking cold East Coast women. The fuck are you looking at, you fucking douchebag? Right? And all of a sudden she comes up. You want a little napkin? Dude, she wants to suck it. Just make sure it's not that. Anyways, me considering myself a pretty handsome guy, I was thinking if I have a shot, Come on, guys, I suck at reading. You got to proofread these things. I was thinking if I have a shot or am I just over my head here? No, you're not. Totally have a shot. Just this New Year's, she was constantly complaining about she had no invitations to New Year's. Dude, this woman is throwing it at you. So me making a joke, since I also did not have any plans, said, hey, maybe we should hang out and get and drink some wine. You think I can have a shot? If so, how would I go about hanging out at her place? I live with my parents. Ah, Jesus. Or am I taking her kindness for flirting? Oh, Jesus, dude. Jesus, we got to get you in the game. Thanks again, Bill. Great seeing you at the Eight House. All right. Hey, dude. You know what we got to do? You know what I'm going to do right now? I'm going to make you I got to get you to stand up straight. Okay? Don't ever say maybe. You know, maybe we should, you know, if there's no maybe. You got to tell her. Let's hang out. Don't say it like that. Hang out, you dumb bitch. Don't say it like that. Yeah, just tell her, let's hang out. Let's have some fucking wine. Let's hang. What do you want to do? I'll show you around town. I'll say that. I'll show you around town. Then you're the fucking friend. Jesus Christ, have I been in a relationship this fucking long? I would just fucking come up to her and just say, listen, wait, she's your manager? Who gives a fuck, dude? You're 23. Have you fucked a manager yet? You got to fuck one boss. And see what that does to your fucking professional and personal life. You learn that lesson. You'll be a better man because of it. You just got to fucking... She's already throwing it at you. You got to tell her you're going to hang out. Then you got the fucking out, too, because she's your boss. Be like, hey, we can't get too fucking hot and heavy here because the whole business thing, right? Plus, she's 3-4 years older than you. You know what I mean? I think she's just looking for somebody to fucking hang out with and give her a nice one. You know what I'm saying? Oh, Jesus Christ, Bill. That was very piggish. That was very piggish. But you're totally in the game, okay? She's smoking hot. She's got that southern accent. This is fucking killing. It's killing me right now that you're not banging her yet, all right? And you know what? Whoever, fuck any fucking woman who's offended by saying that too, that I said that, all right? Jesus Christ. Can they fucking bitch anymore? Good Lord. Every fucking 2 days on the internet, there's another article about what men are doing wrong. I'm going to give women in general advice and stop rolling your fucking eyes at me, okay? You're getting makeup all over your eyebrows. All right? Listen to me. This is what you need to do. Stop telling men that you don't give a fuck anymore about what they think, okay? The mere fact that you're taking the time to do that means you give a fuck. Just fucking do your own shit. If you're sick of guys running shit, start your own shit. For the life of me, I don't know why they don't go out and start their own shit more often. Look at the fucking women, I guess, in my business. I can think of like three right now who's fucking, rather than sitting around, there's no good roles for women, they sat down and wrote a fucking script and got the fucking thing made, and now they're calling the shots. That's what you do. Actually, man or woman, that's what the fuck you do. But this whole fucking bullshit where you sit there and you say what's wrong with your life by criticizing the other sex. All that. Okay. My recorder shit the bed, or God is a feminist. Pick either one. I just listened to the beginning of the podcast and heard that I did say June 5th instead of January 5th. So I'm sure you guys are all attacking me on Twitter now and enjoying making fun of me yet again this year. Happy New Year to everybody. Go fuck yourselves. I hope you have a wonderful week. I'm nervous about the Patriots playing the Ravens. They got a hell of a defense, and I don't know. I don't like that game at all. But we'll see what happens. I'll talk to you guys next week. Go fuck yourselves.